Before we turn, before we begin to read out of the book of Exodus, just wanted to share with you a little bit. One of the prayer requests that I didn't share that you can remember to pray for this next week is the nation of Israel. There's a lot of going on in Israel right now. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is under a lot of pressure from some of his own people. Some of them who should be listening to his directives don't want to listen. And some of the same things that are happening to our president are happening in Israel. Also, there's a lot of pressure on Israel coming from Hamas and Hezbollah and also Syria. And so just pray for them. In some of the articles that I've read and that Roberta has read, it's close to that possibly that even war could break out. And so just pray for the safety of Israel and pray for great wisdom for them. Also, pray for our people here. Nikki Haley, this last week at the United Nations, withdrew the United States from UNESCO, because, the statement she said is, this body is constantly condemning Israel, and we will not continue to support these activities. These are stands that make people very angry, and she's an extension of President Trump. She's his ambassador to the UN, and so they know that he's giving her directives. She's also a believer, I believe, and is very pro-Israel, as is our president. So just pray for those areas when it comes to the nation of Israel. This evening, let us turn in chapter 7, and we're going to be starting at verse 14, and we'll be going, I'm going to be combining the first three plagues, and so due to time, we're probably not going to be able to read the whole passage, but let's just begin verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning, lo, and he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thy hand. And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness, and behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Say unto Aaron, Take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, and upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, upon all of their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, and the Lord commanded, and lifted up the rod, and smote the waters that were in the river, and in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of the servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went unto his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged round about in the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all the borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house and into thine bedchamber and upon thy bed and into the house of thy servants and upon thy people and into thine ovens and into the kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams and over the rivers and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, and they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people? So destroy the frogs from me and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only. And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from the servants, and from thy people, they shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, and out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. And Pharaoh saw that there was respite, and he hardened his heart, and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thy rod, and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with the rod, and smote the dust of the earth. Became lice in men and in beast and in the dust of the land, and became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there was lice upon man and upon beast. And the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us through your word this evening. And as we look at the first three plagues that were brought upon the land of Egypt, Lord, may we learn from these. And Father, may we see that things are not so different in our age in which we live. Men harden their hearts against you. And Lord, you cause things to happen, and men cry out to you. But then when the things are taken away, we harden our hearts again. Lord, may you speak to us through your word, and may you help us to see that it is only through your grace and mercy that we can experience salvation. Lord, now speak to us through your word tonight, as we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we read these passages, one of the things that you see is the first two plagues dealt specifically with the waters of the Nile. Now, as I mentioned earlier in our messages in the last few weeks, I said one of the things that you're going to be seeing as we go through and look at the plagues that come against Egypt. Egypt was a society that was a polygamous society. They had, they had many, many gods. And their gods were also tied to nature. They were tied to the world. And in many ways, what was going on in Egypt, you could see an extension of that happening in our culture. As we begin to worship nature, we begin to worship all the things around us except God. And it's just as Paul said in Romans chapter 1, that men, when they turn their back on God, when they harden their heart against the Lord, they begin to worship the creature rather than the Creator. And one of the things that they did worship was the River Nile. They viewed that the River Nile was that would give them life. They called the River Nile that it was the god Happy, and it was, they said that was the spirit of the Nile, and that there was another god called Kerem, which was the guardian of the Nile, and the Nile brings him life. And if you would look at the land of Egypt, you would see that to the western part of Egypt, it's much more barren. And there's really a lack of water once you get, especially inland and west. And the Nile, along the Nile, it's very rich. It's a very fertile valley, especially where the Nile dumps into the Mediterranean. It's very much similar to, very similar to the Red River Valley. It's one of the richest valleys in the world, just like our soil here was created by a riverbed that was laid down a lot of vegetation and different things, and was also, we have the impact of flooding in here, very similar to what the Nile does. The Nile would flood in the spring. It would bring out the nutrients onto the fields, and the floods would go back. They could plant, and it would, they'd bring forth excellent crops. So they worshiped the Nile. And also, the second plague that they brought was the frogs that came out of the Nile. The frogs were another god that they worshipped, and it was called Hekut, H-E-Q-T, Hekut, and Happy. Hekut was a form of a frog, and Happy was a spirit of the Nile. And so they worshipped these, and the Lord is coming against these. Now the third one that they brought was the lice. Now the lice don't have anything to do with the river of the Nile. And in studying, a lot of Bible scholars really can't tie it to a specific god. But one of the things that we saw in there is that during the first two plagues, an interesting thing happened. The magicians of Pharaoh, the enchanters, as they're referred to, were able to duplicate the miracle that Moses and Aaron did, or that the Lord did through them. Now, Moses and Aaron didn't do it. The Lord did it. The first one was where he turned the waters of Egypt into blood, beginning with the Nile. And it says that the enchanters of Pharaoh, he brought them out, and they also, I don't know where they found water that wasn't blood, hadn't been turned into blood, because it said that they were having a hard time finding water. Remember, it said they had to dig down. They were digging down in the dirt to find water that they could drink, because evidently the water, when it was turned to blood, you could not drink it. It wouldn't quench your thirst, and it would be putrid to drink. But Pharaoh's magicians were able to turn whatever water they found, they were able to duplicate the miracle. The next miracle we saw was where the frogs came forth out of the Nile and inhabited the whole land. And they were able to duplicate that miracle. The Bible doesn't tell us how they did it, but remember last time we met, I said that one of the things that Satan does is God allows him to have a certain amount of power. And one of the reasons he has power is because people want to be deceived. And the people are always deceived by signs and wonders. And if they don't want to know the true and the living God, but would rather worship the creature rather than the creator, deceptions that buy into their belief system will lead them closer to their false gods and to turning their back on God. That's exactly what happened with Pharaoh. When the first miracle that Moses did, turning the water into blood, when his magicians turned it into blood, remember the response of Pharaoh was, he hardened his heart. He said, well, that isn't such a big deal. Look at my guys can do the same thing. And there's a lot of times that people have that belief system. If you look at what happens in our own culture, when people look to something else besides God and their needs are met, oftentimes they will fail to realize who is the one that really is in control. One of the things that you see happening in our culture today is a lot of things with, for example, the government program, and a lot of people become so reliant on the government, they look to the government almost as God, that the government is going to solve all of their problems. I remember during the election of two elections ago, when Obama was elected for the first time, there were people that were thrilled because they said, now we're going to get all these things and all of our problems are going to be solved because we're going to be able to get cell phones, we're going to be able to get money, we're going to be able to get all these things because that's what they'd been promised. And they looked to the government as the one who would deliver upon it, its word and give them all these things. Well, the problem is when you look upon a government, whether it's Pharaoh's government, whether it's our government, or when you look to men to be able to meet your needs, can men really meet our needs? The answer is no. It's the Lord who provides for us, and it's the Lord that we are to praise and thank. One of the things that you see happen with the nation of Israel is when they got into the land of Israel, after they'd come out of Egypt, they'd wandered in the desert for 40 years, and they came into the land of Canaan, you would think that those people who had been through all that and seen all that, they'd seen some of them could have been children, like at this time when these miracles are being performed by God to come against the gods of Egypt and to show that he was the true God. And we also know that all of them that came into the land of Egypt grew up during the time in the wilderness, because the older generation died away and it was only the second generation that would have been their children and grandchildren that lived, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, that came into the land. And they would have seen all the miracles that God did out in the desert, and making provision for them and supernaturally providing for them, overcoming elements that would have made their life difficult, if not impossible, and possibly, in all likelihood, would have resulted in their death if God hadn't supernaturally intervened with manna from heaven, with water from the rocks, supernaturally defeating their enemies, and doing all these things for them. Yet when they come into the land, one of the first things that they begin to do, and it didn't take long after they were in the land, that they begin to acclimate to the religious belief systems of the pagans in the land that God had told them to drive out, but those that they left in the land and didn't drive out, they begin to believe what they believed and worship their false gods. Why? Because it's easier for us to trust in men that we can see than to trust in God whom we can't see. Why is that? Because of faith. One has to have faith to trust in God, because we can't see God. We can only believe his word and trust that he will fulfill his word. But if we don't have faith, then what we do is we go to what we can see and we believe in that. And that's exactly what Pharaoh did here. And what the nation of Israel later on, when they came into the land that God had promised them, would later do, in which he would condemn them for. Well, when Pharaoh saw his magicians, that they could do, replicate the first two plagues, he just hardened his heart. Now, the second plague, there was a period of where he said, okay, I'll let him go. Why was that? Well, if you can imagine having frogs crawling all over you, everywhere you were. I remember a number of years ago, I was working out in my yard at the house we had on 3rd Street, and I dug down, and here was a toad, and I grabbed this toad, and it was just, I hadn't been expecting it, and there it was. But if you can imagine, everywhere you went, frogs. Frogs in your house, frogs in your kitchen, frogs in your food, frogs in your bed, frogs everywhere. It would have been disgusting. And we know that there was a lot of frogs, because when the Lord said, okay, I'll stop the frogs from coming forth, he caused them to die, and the Egyptians gathered them together, it says, in heaps, and it says they stank, they smelled. It was a bunch of frogs decaying, and Egypt can get rather warm. It's a lot closer to the equator than we are, and so you can imagine having just millions of frogs that are in heaps and decaying in the smell. And Pharaoh had asked Moses, as there's all these frogs around, okay, I'll relent, But when the frogs died and the people began to gather the corpses of the frogs, then he relented and he hardened his heart again. Why? Because he just wanted relief from the pressure. There's a lot of people that do that. Do you remember 9/11 when our Twin Towers were attacked and America was under siege from terrorists? And you saw people all around the country calling out to God. And they say, God bless America. God help America. We need to pray to God. And that was a theme that was seen. But guess what? When the pressure was gone, and when the threat wasn't there anymore, all of a sudden some of these same people who have been saying, we need to pray, we need to cry out to God, were back to being as ugly and as ungodly as they'd been before any of it happened. Why? Because they had no faith in the true and the living God. They just wanted to be relieved of the pressure, and they wanted to go back to living their own ungodly lives and worshiping their own gods. And that's exactly what Pharaoh did. He saw that the God of the Nile wasn't greater than our God, the true and the living God. He saw that the God of the frog wasn't greater than the God, the true and the living God. But then it comes to the third plague. And the third plague is a very interesting plague. I don't know if you've ever seen lice. They're not very fun. I remember seeing an account of some of the early indigenous tribes along the western coast, and reading an account of Lewis and Clark when they met some of these tribes, and they said one of the interesting things about these people, they were so infested with lice, as you'd stand watching them, you could see the lice jumping from person to person. And how awful that would have felt. They cause you to itch, they cause you to scratch. It's not very fun to have lice. If you've ever heard about a lice infecting a school, all the kids end up getting their heads shaved, and they have to get this special shampoo that kills the lice, and it's really not a fun experience. And that was a third plague. There was lice everywhere. The Lord caused the dust of the earth to become lice. Now, if you've ever been out in North Dakota during the summer and it's blowing and it's dry and you see dust, a number of years ago, my wife had a cousin that had, or it was, I believe it was her uncle, either her uncle or her cousin had died, and we had to go up to the funeral, and the funeral was up towards Harvey, and that time, we were in the middle of a drought, and it was like 40 mile an hour winds that day, and the fields were just blowing, and it was so, you get out of your car and you'd walk and you just feel dirty. Well, if you can imagine that dirt and that amount of dirt being lice, and you've got little bugs crawling all over you and crawling everywhere. But an amazing thing, Pharaoh went to his magicians and he said, these guys are just pulling another one. Make lice come. Well, his magicians couldn't. And I want you to see what his magician said. His magician said an interesting thing. The magicians said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Do you realize? This is the finger of God. He didn't want to know the truth. The magicians that were talking to him were Jannes and Jambres. We know that from the book of Timothy, where Paul introduces us to these two men. But they went to Pharaoh and they said, this is the finger of God. Do you see people like that, that have that attitude in our culture? Where they cry out for a solution, and a solution is presented to the problem, and the solution comes from God, but they don't want to accept it. They harden their heart against it. Even though they know it's true. You see a lot of that happening in our culture right now. You know, some of the nonsense that's going on in our legislature in Washington, They've got problems right now. The big issue is the borders and the children and the illegal aliens and the ones that are coming in illegally into our nation. And do you realize some of the same people that are putting all the pressure on President Trump and saying it's all his fault are the very ones that voted for the laws that would separate the children from their parents after 20 days, that would cause them to be incarcerated if they broke the law? These same legislators that are now saying it's all Trump's fault. And yet, when the real solution would be presented to them, these same people would reject it. Why? Because they have no desire to really know the truth. They want their own agenda and they serve their own gods, which ultimately is them. And we see that that was the attitude of Pharaoh. It's like the old saying that I had a pastor that was one of my instructors, teachers, as when I was growing up. He said, "Don't confuse me with the facts." He said, "You ever met people like that? You present them the truth and they go, they just don't want to hear anything about it. Don't confuse me with the facts. Don't confuse me with the truth. I don't want to know the truth." Why? If Pharaoh accepted the fact that this was the finger of God, then he would have to accept the fact that God's in control, not me. God's in control, not the gods of the Nile, not the gods of the frogs, not the gods of the lice. But God is in control. Today you have a whole bunch of people that would rather believe that Mother Earth is in control, that Mother Nature is in control. I remember a number of years ago, there was a man, a professor at the University of Wyoming, and he wrote an article together with two men from that bastion of conservative thought, the University of Wisconsin at Madison, and I say that sarcastically. But anyway, these three professors had written this article, and it dealt with the impact of global warming on the flora and fauna of Wyoming. And that was the article. Well, I didn't read the whole article, but he put a little clip of the article, kind of a synopsis, and he posted it on the University of Wyoming website. And I read this, and he was talking about how there were going to be all these great changes in the flora and fauna of Wyoming due to the fact that global warming was coming, and global warming was really being caused by all of these things that are really our problem and our fault. We're driving these internal combustion motor cars. We have all of these products we're using, like hairspray and others that use cans with the spray in them. We have all of these things that are polluting our air. They're causing our ozone layer to become larger. They're causing all of these weather changes. And the article went on and on and on. Well, it said at the end of the article, it said, "If you got any responses or questions, please feel free to email me." So I emailed him and I asked him a few questions. I said, first of all, I read an article once and it said that the greatest problem and impact on our weather is the sunspots and sunstorms. And yet I don't hear anything about that in there. Instead, you're saying that it's all the internal combustion engine. I read another article that said there's a direct correlation between the depletion of the ozone layer and the fact that the magnetic core of the Earth is growing less, and that's due to the second law of thermodynamics, and that the core of the Earth, and the magnetic core, has less power today than it did when Jesus walked on the Earth 2,000 years ago, and that has could be a direct correlation to the size of the ozone layer. And again, some other things. But guess what? He never responded to me. He never wrote back and said that I was wrong, right or the other. He didn't even write back and say, "Well, you're biased in your opinion," or anything. And I think that a lot of times people say, "Don't confuse me with the facts." Because I've got my own view of what I want to believe, who's in control. Who controls the sun? Who controls the magnetic core of the earth? Who controls the weather patterns? The Bible tells us it's God. And it's the God who created all things. If they're going to admit that God is the one who has an impact on the weather, then they've also got to admit that God is probably the one who created all things. And God is the one that's worthy of praise. Well, if we look at what Pharaoh did here, if he would admit that this was the finger of God that caused these lights to come, what would he have to do? He'd have to bow down and worship this God. And if he bowed down and worshiped this God, then he'd have to let the Hebrews go. Because God was God, and he was just a man. And Pharaoh wanted to ultimately, as we're going to see later on, be praised as God. And so tonight we looked at the first three plagues. They're kind of a little bit interrelated, but it leads to an interesting thing that Pharaoh's own magicians begin to point to God being God, but Pharaoh hardens his heart. Today you can show a lot of people the fact that God is God, that we're accountable to Him, but until they come under the conviction of God's Spirit for their sin, they're never going to worship Him as God. That was Pharaoh's problem. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand these truths, help us to look to You. And Father, I pray that You would help us to realize that You are the God who is in control. Father, it wasn't the God of the Nile. It wasn't the God of the frog. It wasn't the God of the lice. It was You. You had control over the waters of Egypt. You had control over the frogs that were in those waters. You had control over the lice that were the bugs. And Father, I pray that You would help us to realize that today You are the one who has control over the weather patterns, control over the volcanoes, control over the earthquakes, and that Your word tells us what it was going to be like in the last days. And Lord, may we realize that our time is short, and may we look to You and call upon Your name, and may we seek the importance of revealing and sharing the truth with others. And Father, soften their hearts that they would not be hardened, so that they would call out to You instead of turning from You. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn to hymn number 554,